Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am great. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Officially.
Thank you.
It's been like a four-day birthday celebration around here.
I know. That's why it's like, I appreciate it.
You're getting closure now on your birthday.
Well, Saturday was the celebration, right?
Yeah,
and
right,
we did it,
right,
and we went for it and all that kind of stuff to the point where that felt like the day.
Yeah.
And then today I was like, oh, yeah, it is.
Is this a round number, by the way?
It is my birthday.
It is a round number.
It is a round number.
Yes.
Are you in the 40 club now?
I'm there now. Yep.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you, Randy. Welcome me a little bit earlier.
It's not a hideous place to be.
It is not.
I was really dreading it when I turned 40. I thought, oh, you know, it's all going downhill from here. And Fricky actually was the one who talked me off the ledge on my 41st. I'm not joking. He talked me off the ledge. He said 40th is really the best age, you know, because you're old enough where now you are really fully on your own. You're independent. You've probably made a little bit of money. You can enjoy it. But at the same time, you're young enough where you aren't breaking down yet. And I thought, okay, like, I'll take that.
Right.
That puts good perspective on
it. It's a good
it.
Idea to talk to people that are well past 40
which
to appreciate
is.
It. You know what I mean?
Which he is.
Because he'd trade 40 for, you know,
oh, yeah.
73
he'd
or whatever.
Trade 40 for
whatever it is.
78 right now.
No, Carl also sent me a really nice text on Saturday because he couldn't be at the party, but about, like, in this job, like a lot, because you spend the first 10 years, 15 years, whatever,
making
$0, yeah, working overnight and hoping to get to here. I feel really happy about where we're at. We
no
just
doubt.
Celebrated five years as a show earlier this year. And then hopefully for the entirety of this decade, I mean, hopefully we're doing this.
You know I got
what I mean?
Nowhere
like, to go. I'd like to be 50 doing this same thing. As much fun as we're having at 40 and 35 and all that, doing the same thing. So he was like, really what hopefully you can do is you've gotten to the point where now you just start building on it and all that kind of stuff. So
great point.
Yeah.
By the way, I need to see you in my office after this. Just kidding.
That'd be a
just
bummer.
Kidding.
That'd
just
be
kidding.
A bummer. Yeah, Mike, you're the one that gets to determine whether or not that happens. So let's make it happen.
Not me alone, me and many others. But no, we love you guys and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Enjoy the 40 Club. It's not so bad.
Thank you. I'm happy to be there. What did you take out of when you're thinking about Sunday night? Do you think about Sunday night and the final two drives in the fourth quarter, or do you think about the first 3 weeks and the team in general? Like, with a little bit of time removed from it now, where's your mind?
It's exactly where it was Sunday night when Bijan got stuffed on that play. The Falcons, they're pretty good. They're playing and hanging in against Kansas City, the defending world champions, and the Steelers, who are 3-0, and Philadelphia, who looks like they're probably a playoff team. They're trading punches with all three of those teams. They only have one win to show for it, though, and that tells me they're good. They're okay. They're not great.
Right.
Yet, I still think they can evolve to be. It's really interesting, and you don't like playing this game 4 weeks into the season, but there is a certain feel to this schedule that reminds me of 2016, where that 2016 schedule was front-loaded. And you had a really late bye that year. I don't know if you remember. Mm-hmm. And you came out of the bye, and you actually played the Chiefs. And you lost to them. They had that two-point conversion thing with
Eric Berry.
Beat the Falcons by himself.
He had a pick six and a pick
but
two.
But you knew after that you were going to play bums.
Yep.
And you kind of really got some momentum going against bums. And that momentum got you into the postseason and carried you all the way to the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying this team is a Super Bowl team by any stretch, but if you look at how the schedule is going to kind of break out the second half of the year, and in particular the final 4 weeks of the year, Raiders, Giants, Panthers, you know, you have a runway at the end of the year where you can maybe absorb some losses early in the year and hopefully make up for it at the end and get to 9-8 or 10-7. I think 9-8 is going to get you in the playoffs.
Right.
It's happened 6 times in the last 2 years, I want to say, 9-8 getting you in. So to me, Andy, long answer to a short question, this feels like a playoff team to me. It does not feel like a Super Bowl contending team to me. And I think they should feel pretty good about trading punches with the Chiefs and not getting knocked out of that game in the third quarter when it looked like the Chiefs had all the momentum and they went up by 8. And if Butker makes that extra point, it's a 2-possession game. Maybe it feels a little bit different. But that defense was out there getting stops at the end. The offense, again, for the most part, moving the ball, except on third downs and except in the red zone.
Mike, when you look at the final score and the 2 possessions where you don't take the points, is that the whatever card that is, or is that because Patrick Mahomes is on the other side?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both, but it might be more the card. I hate analytics.
Oh, yeah.
It just drives me nuts. And you had it right away on Twitter. Take the points. On the first one, take the points. However, I would also point out that the Falcons handed Kansas City a field goal at the end of the first half. Handed them. Cousins throws an interception deep in your own territory, not taking care of the ball again. You give Kansas City 3 points. That is probably more massive than the Falcons passing on the field goal as possession of the game, because everything shapes out differently from that point forward from a game management standpoint. So you can blame coaching errors, but it goes hand in hand with the execution errors, and the execution errors in this case actually set up the coach. I think it's more nuanced than just they should have taken field goals on their last two drives, because in hindsight, absolutely they should have. But then again, you give Patrick Mahomes the ball on the 30 and about a minute to play and a timeout or two, Kansas City's going to probably win that game in regulation.
It's possible. There's no doubt. I mean, obviously, there's a million different kind of ways that game plays out, depending on what happens when and all that. But I would have liked to have seen it. You know what
Me
I mean?
Too. Like, yeah,
I would have liked to have put them in the position to have done it. How much differently do we analyze this first? Because it's not really the first quarter of the season anymore now with 17 games. We still talk about it like that. Final game of the first quarter of the season is Sunday against your hated rival. Mm-hmm. You win that game. You're 2-2. Tough start to the schedule. All that kind of stuff. Feel good. You don't. 1-3, that's 3 losses at home. You lost your rival.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you're in last place.
I feel like this game on Sunday, and not to say that against the Chiefs wasn't a big deal or against the other teams we played aren't a big deal, this game holds so much more weight and so much more importance.
Especially because around to next Thursday and a Tampa team that could come in and beat you again, and now you could be 0-4 at home.
Yeah.
And 1-4 and 2 divisional losses, and you're done.
Pretty much.
I mean, you're
Pretty
done.
Much.
If you're 1-4... losses and 0-2 in the division, it's over. And I know I was saying after the Philadelphia game, it was a gross overreaction to say the season would have been over if the Falcons had lost that Eagles game to go in 0-2. It's different because you haven't yet played a divisional game. You know, now 0-2 with 2 divisional home losses, you're in real trouble. I'm with you. I look at really the next 9 days. It's not just Sunday. It's the following Thursday. That's what's critical. You've got to win both of those games. And then you get some breathing room. Hopefully Carolina, what they did was a little bit of an Andy Dalton bump.
New QB energy.
Yeah. And that was embarrassing by the Raiders, by the way. I mean,
that's what they do.
Raiders.
No, I know. But hopefully, Carolina's not loading up for something unexpected. The thing that hurts you a little bit is when you look down in that middle part of the season where you thought Seattle would be a probably easy win. Well, now maybe not. They're 3-0. You're hoping Washington would be an easy win. They look better than expected. Tampa looks better than expected. we were optimistic about some of these games after the first 4 on your schedule where the Falcons should get some easy home wins. And I think what we've learned in the first 3 weeks of the NFL season is outside of maybe 1 or 2 teams, everyone's competitive in this league this year, including the Falcons.
The Saints are coming into town, and obviously they're coming off of a loss at home to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Where do you think they are? Or do you think they're right in the middle? Because they were on fire.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Dallas can't stop the run. Now we see that. And
right.
Then, who's the first win against? Was it Carolina?
Carolina's Carolina.
You got those 2 games. Yeah. And then your 3rd game, you go against a better team, and you score 13 or whatever points. What do you think they're in between there, or do you think they're closer to what we saw against the Eagles?
What stood out to me about that game, and I watched almost all of it on Sunday, the Saints-Eagles game, is the Saints' defense was flying around. Very, very active. Had more success, aside from 1 explosive play, more success stopping the run of Philadelphia than the Falcons did. Mm-hmm. Now the Falcons, needing to run the ball to try to be a little bit balanced and potentially being without at least 1, maybe 2 of your starting offensive linemen, that scares me a little bit, going up against that Saints front 7. But all that being said, they struggled to move the ball against Philadelphia. And they made some mistakes. They turned the ball over. They had some special teams mistakes. They were playing on their home field, and they were not perfect. So I think it's very much a winnable game. But the pressure's on Atlanta.
Right.
The pressure is absolutely on Atlanta in this game. They're, you know, the Saints come in. They probably feel like if they get a win out of this game, it's a bonus. You know, they'll come in here. They'll try to win, obviously. But all the pressure's on Atlanta right now. Oh, boy, good. Good pull, Bo.
They're under pressure. Well, you know who's really under pressure? Atlanta United. Must win.
Must win in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then must win in Montreal. And then must win against the Red Bulls. Have they won three games in a row all year?
No. I don't think so. I don't think that's happened. When's the last time they won three games in a row?
We were talking about that. It's been a long time since they've had a 9-point week. And that's what they're going to need. It's really too bad. They were so close.
Yeah.
So close on Saturday.
Yeah.
Really too bad.
Just a couple minutes away. All right, Mike. We appreciate it.
Happy birthday again.
Thank you very much.